Your ancestors walked 20 miles in a day without thinking twice about it. They squatted to rest, climbed trees for fruit, carried water from streams, and ground grain by hand. Their bodies were strong, flexible, and resilient, not because they worked out, but because movement was woven into every moment of survival. Now, we celebrate hitting 10,000 steps while sitting for the other 23 hours. We've traded our biological birthright for electric can openers and drive-thrus, and our bodies are sending us the bill. Movement isn't optional. It's not something you do for 30 minutes at the gym before returning to your real life of sitting. It's the foundation of human existence, as essential as food, water, or sleep. Yet we've reduced it to a chore, a box to check, a New Year's resolution we abandoned by February. What if everything we've been told about fitness is missing the point entirely? Think of movement like vitamins. You wouldn't eat a single multivitamin for breakfast and then consume nothing but candy for the rest of the day, expecting to be healthy. Yet that's exactly what we do with movement. We squeeze in our morning workout, then spend the next 15 hours motionless, wondering why our backs hurt and our energy crashes. Every cell in your body requires mechanical input to function properly. When you sit for hours, even after your spin class, you're still starving those cells. Exercise and movement are fundamentally different. Exercise is isolated, 30 minutes on a treadmill. Movement is how your body interacts with the world, walking to the market, carrying groceries, squatting to garden. Your body needs constant, varied movement throughout the day, different positions, loads, and terrains. This is movement nutrition, the rich, complex mechanical inputs that keep your tissues healthy, your joints mobile, and your systems functioning. Without varied mechanical input, you're malnourished, your grip strength weakens, your pelvic floor loses tone, your vision deteriorates from screen time. These aren't random ailments. They're your body adapting to a movement environment that doesn't support human life. Every time-saving device represents lost movement: electric car doors, tea bags, escalators. Your great-grandmother's tea involved growing plants, harvesting leaves, drying, crushing, steeping. You drop a bag in hot water. This creates a vicious cycle. Less movement means less capability, so you create more technologies to compensate. Your body literally rebuilds itself around your habits. If you sit with bent knees all day, your hamstrings physically shorten. You're not just out of practice, you're structurally different. Your convenience depends on someone else's labor, often under exploitative conditions, plus the ecological burden of plastic packaging and energy-intensive processing. Each convenience represents a choice. Now that you see the true cost, you can choose differently. Your muscles don't just contract, they expand radially, creating a mechanical pump that pushes blood through embedded vessels. Your bones aren't fixed structures. They're dynamic, constantly remodeling based on experienced forces. Your cells don't just divide and die, they crawl and squeeze through three-dimensional space using mechanisms scientists only discovered when they stopped studying cells in artificial flat dishes. For decades, researchers believed wider hips would ease childbirth but reduce walking efficiency. Then, comprehensive models, including full leg structure, proved otherwise. Wider hips don't reduce walking efficiency at all. This happens repeatedly in movement science. We study isolated parts, missing the interconnected whole. We measure normal ankle flexibility in sedentary Westerners at 17 degrees, then discover the Twa people of Uganda, who regularly climb trees, can dorsiflex their ankles over 45 degrees. Same bones, different movement history, different body. Your body responds to every repeated movement pattern, rebuilding itself to match your lifestyle. Trees sense wind as they grow, developing thicker branches where forces are greatest. Nursery-grown trees often have branches too thin to survive because they've never experienced wind resistance. Your bones work identically, adapting their density and structure based on mechanical loads. Hunger was nature's personal trainer, a relentless signal serving dual purposes, obtaining food and generating necessary movement. In nature, food requires substantial physical work, digging tubers, shelling nuts, gathering berries, walking miles while bending and squatting. As we've outsourced our chewing from millstones to blenders, we've created generations with underdeveloped oral structures. Many modern humans have teeth that don't fit properly in their jaws, a direct result of softer diets and reduced jaw use. Rivers carve landscapes, but landscapes also direct rivers, a continuous feedback loop. Your movement shapes your environment, but your environment also shapes your movement. The flat surfaces you walk on, the chairs you sit in, the climate-controlled spaces you inhabit, all mold your physical development in ways you rarely consider. When Katie Bowman took her young son hiking, he walked efficiently on narrow forest trails, but struggled on wide paved paths. Natural walls provided helpful constraints that focused his movement. Open spaces offered too many possibilities, overwhelming his developing nervous system. We've defined nature as everything except humans, revealing our perceived separateness. But you are subject to the same laws as all living things. Outdoor time protects against nearsightedness. Natural light regulates circadian rhythms. Soil contact exposes you to beneficial microorganisms. Plant chemicals boost white blood cell count. Temperature variation stimulates metabolic adaptations. Beyond these measurable benefits, nature reconnects you with your evolutionary context. Your body evolved to interpret natural environments. The varied textures, sounds, smells, and visual patterns provide sensory inputs your nervous system is designed to process. Small steps toward reconnection yield benefits: growing some food, spending time in parks, observing seasonal changes, learning about local plants and animals. Modern life compartmentalizes essential needs, work, family, exercise, food prep, nature time, into separate tasks. The solution isn't better time management, but reimagining how you meet needs simultaneously. A 2-hour family foraging expedition accomplishes movement, outdoor time, bonding, screen-free living, self-feeding, and learning in one activity. This is stacking, meeting multiple needs through single actions. Modern exercise is unstacked. A treadmill walk improves fitness, but misses opportunities for connection, learning, or contributing to survival needs. Transform your living space by replacing furniture that restricts movement. Swap couches, dining chairs, and beds for lower alternatives that encourage varied positions. Small changes multiply benefits. Grow some food, buy nuts in shells, use manual kitchen tools, walk to stores. Harvesting elderberries exemplifies perfect stacking. Reaching, stretching, and climbing provide natural movement while creating community time, offering medicine, natural light, and plant education. By clarifying core values, you identify stacking opportunities aligned with what matters, transforming overwhelming demands into integrated living where each activity serves multiple purposes. Natural movement has become countercultural in a society normalizing sedentary behavior. A 2015 study showed grip strength strongly predicts cardiovascular and all-cause mortality, better than blood pressure. Yet by 2016, American men's strength declined 10%, women's 14%. Rather than recognizing lifestyle-driven biological decline, researchers suggested lowering strength standards to match current behavior, comparing outdated standards to leg warmers and scrunchies. This exemplifies how culture perpetuates itself by making suggestions outside norms seem irresponsible, even when they align with biological necessities. Our therapy-centric society creates solutions allowing continued sedentariness rather than addressing inadequate movement. We attribute pelvic floor issues to missing specific exercises rather than lifetime movement deficiency, or vitamin D deficiency to insufficient supplements rather than too little outdoor time. Even movement is medicine unintentionally suggests movement treats problems rather than being essential daily requirement. While corrective exercises address specific issues, they're most valuable when enabling more frequent movement in nature, where varied terrains provide higher movement nutrient density. Challenging these norms requires recognizing that conveniences carry hidden costs to your body, workers, communities, and ecosystems damaged by manufacturing networks supporting sedentary lifestyles. Recognizing yourself as part of nature rather than separate from it opens possibilities for health that disconnected perspectives obscure. Your body isn't a vehicle for your brain. It's the reason your brain exists. Every time you choose to walk instead of drive, to prepare food instead of unwrap it, to sit on the floor instead of a couch, you're voting for a different kind of life. The revolution doesn't require a gym membership or special equipment, only the willingness to move naturally and often. Growing herbs on your windowsill, taking stairs, squatting while water boils, carrying groceries in a basket, walking barefoot in grass. Each choice reconnects you with your biological heritage, rebuilding the movement-rich life your body was designed for. Your ancestors didn't exercise. They simply lived in ways that required constant, varied movement. You can't replicate their world, but you can honor the body they gave you by finding every opportunity to move it. The path back to physical wholeness asks only that you notice the thousands of daily moments where you've automated away your humanity and choose differently.